Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Continental OETS. You can find weird things in your car, not just petrified French fries or melted crayons, live snakes, weird, bizarre trinkets, stuff that makes you wonder, what the hell are folks thinking when they're driving? Anyway, you can also find Continental belts. Bet you didn't know they're OE in millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. Continental is launching a new aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, fanatically engineered for a perfect fit, form and function for over 98% of vehicles on the road in the U.S. and in Canada. Continental OE technology series multi-V belt. The belt with the OE pedigree. Get the full story at OETechnologyseries.com. That's OETechnologyseries.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Adam Carolla and welcome to another episode of Going Racing, a show that highlights the fastest cars, best races, and biggest celebrities in the automotive world. And now here's a conversation with Matt about some of the car auctions we went to.
About this Porsche electric car, the Taycan?
Yeah.
So you and I think last year at Monterey, they had the Porsche Mission E concept car, the white electric car that we walked around and they showed you sort of the exterior stuff and explained the battery and the charging and how it's going to be different. Here's the concept car. Here's a photo we have. We'll put it up at carcastshow.com.
Looks good.
And so this evolved into what they call the Taycan, T-A-Y-C-A-N. And the official debut of this car is at, I forgot which auto show, something in Europe coming up in a few weeks. So now Porsche is saying, hey, check out the interior shots. And also we've been testing it at the Ring. And they said, oh, it was the fastest production electric sedan. Although I don't know if there's many electric sedans on the Ring, so
Nürburgring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here we are. Here's the vehicle, all sort of camouflaged up.
Mm-hmm.
And like any concept cars that goes to production, it's goofy mirrors and things like that. And every car company is like, we want to use cameras, but no government will let us yet. And they're like, we're so far ahead with the camera side mirrors, you know, but we can't because no government will let us do it. But that's a argument, I guess, for another day. So it ran 7 minutes, 42 seconds.
Wow.
For this car. But it's not, you know, it has to have Porsche DNA, but is it meant to be a Tesla fighter? Is it meant to be whatever? So I don't know where it falls in the world of electric cars, but here's a few times at the Nürburgring in that 742 range. A Porsche 911 Turbo S ran a 741.2. And a Cayman GT4 ran 742, almost exactly the same time as the Porsche Taycan. And, mm-hmm. and a 911 GT3 ran a 742.
Yeah.
Right? And the Murcielago 742.
Right. Right? So we're all there.
I mean, that's impressive. It's
faster than a Z06 Corvette.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, by point, you know, 1/10 of a second or whatever, but it's quick.
It is quick. And I mean, we're going to get into at some point, like its range and charge time and all that
yeah,
other stuff.
Look,
but
we're there. I mean, we're almost there. I was funny. I was walking with Sonny the other day and we were walking down the street and he spotted a BMW 8.
I-8.
Yeah. That was parked in a driveway. And he's like, hey, Dad, that's a pretty cool looking car.
Yeah.
And I was like, I agree. It has 17 miles of fucking range.
Yeah.
17 miles of plug-in range.
Yeah.
Like,
Sonny got way more than that on his electric bike at Monterey.
I know. I live 11 miles from where I work. And if, God damn it, if I could get my car, come here to work and do my work and go home. It's not like I swing by the supermarket or the Y or anything. I just come here, yell at people for an hour or two, and then I just go home. If I could fucking make that and then just go home and plug it in,
yeah,
I would do it, but I can't on that car.
It's the i8 is sort of, I think, has struggled to find its niche because it's not fast enough to meet that performance look.
It looks,
but doesn't
cool.
have enough range to fall into that. You should buy it because it's electric.
But we're electric. On the 0-60 part, we're there and then some.
Yeah.
On the
not
top,
necessarily with that car specifically, but sure.
Right. On the top speed, I don't know, we'll get there, but the top speed is highly overrated. It's pretty much, that's just bragging rights. It's really about the getting up the freeway on ramp. We're there with the electric cars in the 0-100 or 120 or whatever. The range, we're getting there fast, and, you know, infrastructure and technology, I mean, we'll be there faster. I don't know why in this modern era BMW offers a car with an 18-mile range on plug-in. And I know that fucking part where they go, well, yeah, but then the diesel generator kicks in and stuff. Like, yeah, okay, but I want to plug it in overnight and get in the next day and be able to get to work and back.
Yeah.
That's all. Well, you can plug it in at work. Yes, I could run an extension cord out of the window.
Right.
And by the way, if I plugged it in for 3 hours, it'd have 2.7 miles added to it. I don't want to do that.
Even these hybrid cars that are plug-in hybrids, there's the traditional hybrid. You don't plug it in and it charges the battery and all that other stuff. The plug-in hybrid frustrates me because of the short range, and I feel like I'm not getting good use of the car the way I'm supposed to. Even driving the Volvo, the SUV, the XC90 hybrid, and had like, I don't know, 21 mile, 27 mile, and it kept getting down, and I was like, oh, now I got to feel like I got to plug it in or put it in charge mode.
Could we get here? Like, here's what I'm going to give you my dream vehicle, not the architecture of it, but what I'm looking for. I would like a pile of solar panels on the roof of my house.
Mm-hmm.
I would like a couple of those battery walls.
Yeah.
I know Tesla kind of makes one, but I think, I don't know, Samsung or something, or one of those companies, Hitachi or something.
Something
somebody makes
like,
one too.
To make the battery backups for your
I'd
house.
I'd like to have a nice battery wall, a pile of solar panels on top of my house, and a vehicle that had an engine in it that was powered by gasoline that had a small hopper tank of, you know, 6 gallons or something like that, but that I could plug in and get 100 miles of range on a full charge. And if I wanted to continuously just plug it in twice a week or three times a week, I could continuously run it on electricity, and I would really never have to go to the gas station again unless I went on a longer range journey.
That short range vehicle doesn't exist
to the best of my knowledge.
The short range plug-in hybrid, which seems to be the norm, I don't like the idea that now you have to plug it in and go to the gas station.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get the part where the engine has to kick over, you know, once a week just to get the juices flowing. I get the part where you might have to add some Stabil to the fuel because it's sitting in there for a year or whatever. I kind of get that part. But what I'm saying is I would like to – my biggest issue is – I don't know, Max Zapata, what is the longest range plug-in hybrid – vehicle.
Yeah. Or PHEV.
Now, here's the problem. They're going to go 626 miles because the engine kicks in after. I just mean, can we run it on just plug in?
Yeah.
And why am I making this up? And why is this exotic? Like, I like the engine. I like the backup part of the engine. I like the extended range. Oh, we're going to Vegas. We're going to use the engine. But 97% of my driving is just from my house to here and back.
Yeah.
And I never want to go by the gas station
now,
again.
Wasn't that Fisker's plan? His Karma plan was the opposite. Instead of having the big engine with the little electric motor and battery for 17 miles, his idea was you go 200 miles or something at the time. And then he had the little four-cylinder, like little hopper engine, if you will, from GM, you know, sitting in the fender going, oh, but you won't run out of battery because we can charge the battery on the fly. Like, that's what we need. By the way, if you're BMW and you own some really fantastic BMW motorcycles, how come we're not just running like the little motorcycle engine to keep that battery going, you know, so you can get that extended range? Or if you're Audi and you own Ducati.
Oh, does Audi own Ducati?
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah,
this is electric range only
for
hybrids. So you can see BMW i3.
Right, there's the new i3. So the i3 is as close to what I think Fisker Karma was trying to do. It's got the little engine to charge the battery, right? Volt was trying to do that as well.
Right, the Chevy Volt's got 53 range, and the BMWs have 126. 126 is perfectly acceptable. I can get to work and back like the whole week on a plug-in, unless you're like Garrigus's wife who just plugs hers in every single night. And I just go, where are you going? And she's like, I go into Pasadena and get my nails done. And I'm like, then just plug it in on Monday and you don't have to plug it in again until the next Monday. She's like, I like to plug it in every night. And I'm like, you don't leave this neighborhood. You may go to Pasadena. That's 6 miles from here.
Yeah.
And then you come home. This thing gets 300 range. Why is it plugged in? She has a Tesla, not an X,
the S.
She has the S. And I'm like, she's funny. She's like, because I plug it in. I want it plugged in.
All right.
And I was like, I like that. I like, by the way, pardon the pun, I like that wiring. Don't get me wrong, but I'm still like, you're kind of defeating your purpose here.
Oh, unless Garrigus got all those solar panels on the roof and he's off the grid.
Nah, I don't think he does.
There was a bunch of cars missing from that list you just showed, obviously, but like i8 and
yeah,
Range Rover.
Yeah, i8 is 7 miles.
Yeah, you know, like they don't even make the list.
Well, we just showed you the bottom half of the list. We could put the full one up.
The i3 seems pretty good. My sister has one, and that's fine.
Yeah, did you buy it?
No. So, you know, that's a car that'll plug it in, get you 126.
Here,
I'm kind of looking for a little less of a box, you know, something that's got a little more going to
it. Something with a little more flash or something to it. But
all right, so what else we spotted out there? the sales were down. The race cars remain pretty solid. A lot of the Italian stuff's kind of flattened out. Maybe Porsche's flattened out. I guess a lot of the street car stuff is kind of flattened out a little bit.
But the all across the lineup, and even some of the big money cars are flattening. You know, I think people are sort of seeing what's going on there, and some of those big money cars are reaching a cap, you know, at least slowing down a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's a, it's always amazes me when we go to these auctions, you know, how many of these cars that are 8 million, 12 million, 15 million, and how many, like, they're always getting bids. There's a lot of people with a lot of money out there buying cars.
Yeah. The market, it seems like a good time to get in if you're looking for anything front engine V12 Italian of a 60s or early 70s vintage. The prices have dropped and they flattened out and they don't seem to be going lower than what they are now. They've just been flat. And now's the time if you're toying with that to kind of get in.
But the sellers need to be aware of this. The sellers, you guys, look, there's a lot of cars that are you're asking 400 for, and they're not getting, you know, more than 310. And you have a choice now. You either need to sell it for the lesser amount, or you need to hold on to that car for longer. But now's not the time to get pissed off at everybody because you're only getting 310 for a car you thought was 400 and change. Right?
Also,
like that's the way it works.
The bring a trailer stuff is working pretty well. Their premium auction stuff's working pretty well.
Seems
I think we're
be,
talking
yeah.
about a Porsche 962 where it didn't have much history. And I was saying, I was saying to you, that's 900 to $1 million, for a Porsche with very limited history. And I think it got 960 on bring a trailer. So that's basically $1 million car on bring a trailer. And that's a good price for that car.
And how'd our 93 Cobra, our teal Cobra do? Ooh,
it was $23,000 the last I checked.
It went for $24,400.
Why do I waste my time with you, stupid Cobras?
What?
I keep an eye out, man. There's a typhoon on there too, man.
I know you always give me shit about these cars, but you notice them all over the place more sooner than I do. Every Cyclone, Typhoon, Grand National,
I
Cobra,
marvel. I look at it like I look at the homeless or litter. I just look at it and go, God damn, what have we done?
It's like we're on a road trip and a bad song comes on and you turn it up and you go, listen to how terrible this song is.
That's the majesty of me. I celebrate the horrible. I've seen movies I hate way more times than I love.
Yeah.
That's the majesty of me. So this thing ended up going for
$24,400. And as people got into the comments and talked about it, it turns out, although it's a very nice car and it's low miles, it did have a life where there was more mods and they ended up reversing the mods and kind of doing a thing. So, well bought, nice car. Look, somebody on eBay is, you know how eBay, they like to throw out batshit crazy numbers just to see what happens. I think somebody has one up there for $73,000.
Right.
I don't know why. Because a Cobra R model sold for $120 at Barrett Jackson. They made 107 of it, and the car was still wrapped in plastic.
eBay's got to do a
eBay's bullshit.
They got to do a little better vetting job because, like, if you ever go, like, what I'll do with eBay sometimes is there's 200 million cars. So I'll go, well, let's see if someone threw a Miura up there or a Gullwing or something. So when it does the search results, they'll do like location, distance, price. And I'll just go most expensive to cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll vet out all the stuff. And you'll see if someone threw up a 935 or, a Gullwing or something. So do it at the top. Every time is a Chrysler K car that someone wants $8 million for.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Okay, that's a goof. You've got to figure this stuff out. There's no such thing in your algorithm. If you see Chrysler and K car 1981, don't let someone put it up there for $11 million.
I just don't know when eBay sort of shifted away from being like the cool place to buy bargain shop stuff, use cylinder heads, whatever. And I think just like Craigslist came into the world and then eBay started allowing like all these stores and dealers to participate. It was no longer just, you know, the everyman just posting stuff.
Right.
So, you can put shit up there just for tire kicking. And
but also, I think what happened with eBay is like you'd go, you know, I'd type into search results like Lamborghini, Miura, Nardi steering wheel. And then a whole bunch of like Chinese aftermarket Pep Boy stuff would like come popping up and stupid, super like bad stick shift knobs that were Pep Boy stuff. And they're like, what is all this doing up here? I said Lamborghini, Nardi, Miura, like, and it's like piles and piles of just sort of junk from the Pep Boys aisle.
Yeah.
And it's like, why am I combing through all of that?
Because when they put those listings up, anybody can type in whatever keywords
they want. Well, yeah, obviously.
And it just screws up the
whoever's out of China selling super cheap, bad knockoff steering wheels, this goes, anyone who says Lamborghini is going to find our wheel. Look, I get what they're doing. I want to know what eBay's doing.
Well, eBay's not doing anything.
Why aren't they vetting
a little bit more?
And then you start going through like the same pile, and you're looking for something specific, like a valve cover for a Lambo engine or something, you know, a brake cylinder or something like that. And you're just getting piles and piles of Nuvo knockoff Chinese
just tons
junk.
Of crap. Tons of crap.
Tune in next week for another episode of Going Racing. New episodes available on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.